Okay, Heavenly Father, we just want to acknowledge your presence. And Lord, we know you're always present, but there's something tangible about you today that we want to recognize. So we want to step into you, open our ears, open our eyes, open our hearts and minds, and just receive that which you would have for us today. Lord, change our perspective toward yours, and let us receive what you would have said. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm not really preaching today. I'm definitely not teaching. I would highly recommend the Sunday school class. You know, we have some really gifted, anointed teachers in this place. Now, Sunday morning isn't always the best time for teaching because you need a more of an interactive setting. But there's different individuals that I've been able to sit in and through the years that it's like the light spotlights come on. It's like, oh, you know, when they start teaching. And Jeff's one of those. When he gets in a group of teaching, you know, to get this aura over the guy. And so I'd highly recommend, it doesn't even matter really what it's about, you know, you can just be like really thrilled seeing God use somebody in a way you haven't seen him too much, right? So I'd highly recommend that. I really just want to share something with you. God just messes me up consistently. So it's almost like every time I have plans, he throws them out the window. And I don't know if that's good for you or bad for you, but it is what it is. So I spoke 5 or 6 weeks ago. And immediately after I spoke, God laid in my heart to start looking at the unbelieving believer, right? And for those that you were here last week, out of the blue at the last minute, because I really didn't want to share what the Lord had given me, I asked Lisa to speak, and at the last minute she stepped in. She goes, well, I have something on belief. So I thought, oh, that's great, because God had been talking to me about that, but he's really not letting me speak on it. And I'm not speaking on that today either, by the way. Just giving you the backdrop. But I do think there's an issue in the church. And it's that of unbelieving believers. And I'm going to be bold in this, in the stance or opinion, and I'm free to be wrong, that a good majority of the Church of God are unbelieving believers. And why do I say that? Lack of fruit. I can't judge their hearts because I don't know their hearts. But I can see a lack of fruit in society. If God's people were really in step with God, we would see more of God's fruit in society. Why? Because light always overtakes darkness. So Matthew 13:58 says, now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And I've gone to revival meetings and special meetings and healing meetings and all these things, and we can all get critical and complaining and all those sorts of things, right? But the one thing I believe we all hunger for is to see the fruit of God manifest. We want to see healings. We want to see miracles. We want to see the character of God built up in people. We want to see the body of Christ mature. We're looking for fruit. And a lot of us, sometimes we look and say, we start making up excuses. Well, they didn't have faith. They didn't this. But there's an impact in our lives of unbelief. And we never deal with the core. See, it's not an excuse to say I doubt. But there's something the Holy Spirit's showing us when we recognize unbelief in our lives, because it goes right down to the heart of what relationship we have with God. If we are in right relationship with God, unbelief does not exist. See, there is no unbelief in the kingdom of God. Mark 6:5 says the same thing about the same passage that we just read in Matthew. Now, he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. See, even Jesus, as he went about his ministry, recognizes the hindrances in people's lives when they would not believe. Even though he still healed people, which I think is pretty cool, he didn't consider healings mighty works, which we do. But also recognizes, and again, I'm not talking about the unbelieving believer. I'm just laying out some things for you that was going on in my heart. Romans 4:18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was good as dead. Some of you ever feel that way? Sometimes I do. Since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. So, and I'm really trying to summarize things, God, what God had been talking to me about, and really what I took out of the heart of Lisa's message, because it goes into what God is going to have me speak on. And I think you'll see the connection. That everything's about relationship. See, unbelief is simply taking our eyes off of Jesus. When our focus is on the things of this world or the issues of life or the circumstances in life, that's when doubt and unbelief can creep up. We have an illustration of it in the Word of God, Matthew 14, verse 29. Everyone knows this story. Come, he said, then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? Now, we watched a movie last night in the fellowship we had, which was really cool. You guys should all come out. It's a good time together. But it was The Shack, and there's a scene where they're like walking on water together, right? Second part of that scene is he comes out of a meeting he had with wisdom, and Jesus is there, and he just goes and starts trying to walk on water, and he sinks as he's walking. And Jesus is like, yeah, it's best if we do it together, right? And then it shows them running across the water. Keep your focus on Jesus. When he saw the wind, he was afraid. The only time doubt, fear, unbelief enters the equation is when our eyes turn away from Jesus, right? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. It's so true. So as I'm contemplating all these things about the unbelieving believer in my heart, I had taken a trip with my wife up to see my folks. You guys going up there soon? I got lots of apples for you to take. Oh, bags. So my wife forces me, because I'm trapped in a car, to listen to Dub Jackson, is that his name? Alexander. Whatever. What's his name? Dub Alexander. Okay. You can tell how well I listened. And yeah, the message was good, but the Lord started speaking to me, so I was listening to the Lord instead of fully listening to the message. Does that make sense? Good message. The message talked a lot about how we view God, which I really didn't connect with because I didn't view God the way he was describing. That's okay, because I think a lot of people do. And he said a couple words to me, and it just took me down a tangent, and it took me off of the unbelieving believer towards this. And he's, I go away, simply said this: it's a season of fruit. And I thought, yeah, I got like bushels of pears and apples that are went, and the branches are breaking, because it made sense. But he said, and this is a word for you guys, individually and corporately. See, there's times in life where we go through things. It feels like we're not planted firmly. All the ground doesn't, it doesn't seem like we've taken root. It doesn't seem like we're getting the nourishment. Sometimes it's dry. Sometimes there's too much water. Sometimes there's wind and rain and storms that we think we can't stand through. He said, if you'll just keep your eyes on me, I will produce fruit which you will bear, which will bring me glory in my time. It's a season of fruit for you, the encounter. So I want to share a little bit about fruit. Not that I'm an expert, but I do have a little orchard that I regret every year because it makes me work. And I don't always do it the best, but the Bible says a lot about this stuff. So I want to share a little bit about a season of fruit. And at the end, I don't want anyone leaving when I say I'm concluded. I think sometimes we too easily dismiss what the Lord's saying. So if the Lord speaks to you and you need ministered to at the end, we're going to have an altar call. I want you to come forward and we'll pray for you. Otherwise, I want you to find a place. Could be right where you're sitting. It could be anywhere in the sanctuary. Could be at the, it doesn't matter where. It's that you're trying to connect with God and allow him to bring what he's trying to say to you to fruition. Because he wants to show you something. Now, it may simply be about things you have experienced in the past or experiencing now that are hindering you, and he's going to show you how he's going to bring fruit out of it. See, because only God can take the worst circumstances in life and bring good out of it. God can take the worst tree and bring good fruit out of it. He can take the worst conditions fruit out of it. And how many of you know the fruit you bear is not for you? The fruit you bear is for God. How? He will put you in situations where others can eat of it and he will get glory. You bear the fruit. He produces it. It's for his glory. So that's how we're going to conclude. You're going to search God. You're going to search for God until God shows you exactly what God wants to show you. You're not going to run out of here. Okay? That's how we're going to end. So Travis can get some fruity music on, and we'll seek God together. And if you need prayer, we will pray for you. So it's a season of fruit. First, I want to talk a little bit about soil. Matthew 13:3. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Going on to verse 18, he describes what all this is. I'm not going to read it. Most of you know it. Otherwise, you can look it up. It's in verse 18 and on. And originally, I wrote down, you know, God plants us in good soil. And I want to retract that. God plants you where God plants you. And it may seem like rocky soil. It may seem like tough conditions. But he knows exactly what you need to make you strong in him, to where you can bear fruit. Okay, now, when I planted young trees in my yard, pear trees and apple trees, I have the worst soil around. It's clay. It's just rock hard. You know, when they were doing my deck, they broke a couple augers. Just couldn't go through it. And I had previously planted a tree. You know, you dig a hole, right? Pop a tree in there, crabapple tree. And within a year, it was dead. And we had a lot of rain that year. And clay is like, doesn't really absorb stuff. So it basically drowned, right? Because like a plant and a vessel, the roots just end up going around and around. They never really take root, right? So when I planted the pear tree and the apple trees, which was a lot of work, by the way, I dug down way deeper than I needed to, way wider than I had to, but I also chiseled out crevices into the clay. Why? So the roots could not get bound in the circle coop, but could break through into areas, right? And they've thrived in this soil. I'm going to go back to what I said. God will use whatever soil you need to make you rooted strong. It's a season of fruit. So then, you know, there's stuff called fertilizer, which, you know, today is in short supply with all the turmoil going on in the world. And I've learned different things regarding that, you know. The right amount of fertilizer produces good fruit. Very healthy for the tree. The wrong amount can cause a lot of damage. I was reading an article, especially in apple and pear trees, that the incorrect amount of fertilizer can actually hinder the blossoms. If you don't have blossoms, you don't have fruit in the end. Because the blossoms are what attracts the bees that pollinate the trees. The also neat thing with apple and pear trees, you can't have the same type or they won't pollinate one another. You have to have different types around. Some plants are self-pollinating, it doesn't matter. Apple and pear trees, you have to have different types. Kind of how God's made us. I always told my wife I didn't marry me. That would not be good pollination. So I married her for a reason, so she need not act like me. So you have to know exactly, see, God's the only one that knows the exact amount to use. Sometimes we go through things in life and we say, I can't bear it. God knows what you can bear. He will not give you more than you can bear. Now, I always tell God, you know, don't make me so strong that I have to bear a lot. Because the thought of bearing a lot just doesn't appeal to me. Okay? But that wasn't Jesus' mindset. See, for the joy set before him, he endured more than all of us combined could endure. How could he do it? Because there was a joy set before him. Most of you, if you knew what God had planned for your life, would endure anything to see that come true. Anything. It's a season of fruit. And then I go through times, you know, if you don't take care of your trees, they will be overcome either by the weather conditions or pestilence. So you could have a lot of trees with a lot of fruit with a lot of wormholes or stunted growth or, you know, cripples, so they're called. And I'm still learning this process in that I tend to have an abundance of fruit on these trees. In the last couple of years, I've had several branches break. And I think I'm doing a great job thinning them out. It is so hard for me to go and see a cluster of fruit where there's four on this one little branch and they all look good and healthy and take three of them off so one can be healthy and grow to maturity and ripen and be fruit that can be eaten by somebody. God doesn't have that issue. He knows what's best for you. He knows what's best for us. See, sometimes we want this abundance of fruit, and it's the least healthy thing for us. It will break you. I've seen people where it appeared they were just thriving in ministry, that God is just abundantly blessing them. They're so anointed, they're so this, and they fall. And I know why. They started looking at fruit instead of looking at who produces it. And they couldn't bear it. God knows how to pull off things that need to get pulled off, so you can bear what he's called you to bear. See, it's a season of fruit. Then there's always the fun part, pruning. See, taking care of the trees are really a year-round thing. You have to notice the new suckers, the new shoots coming up. They'll just suck life out of the tree. You have to know which branches to trim back and really take care of. So when a season of fruit comes, it's a bountiful harvest. John 15:1 says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. You must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So I would dare to say none of us enjoy pruning season. And I would also dare to say most of us don't recognize pruning season. We can recognize pain. We can recognize the uncomfortability of things being taken away, things being cut out of our lives, all these different dynamics. But we don't recognize the fruit that's coming from being pruned. I felt when the Lord was showing me that he's saying pruning season's been done. The soil's been taken care of. You're properly fertilized. I've pulled off all the cripples. I've pruned you back. The branches you have are made to bear fruit. They're strong. They're sturdy. You've endured. A season of fruit is coming. Very encouraging word, right? So what do I do? I'm ready to remain in him. You know, I've seen so many people get so excited for the things of the Lord and transplant themselves. How many of you know if I take any of my trees during the middle of any of the seasons before harvest time, dig it up and transplant it, all the fruit will die. And that tree may never recover. Don't go chasing after things God hasn't told you to chase after, even when it seems like God. There's a move of God, I'm going to run to that. There's another move of God, I'm going to run to that. You'll never have root. You'll never bear fruit. And you'll wonder why. Because you'll think you're chasing after God. It says, remain in me. If you don't like where you're planted, that's too bad. I don't know how else to say that. It's your choice to like something or not. I do know that God says every circumstance he takes in your life, somehow he will bring good out of it. If you'll stay in him. We have to get to staying in him. We have to keep our focus on him. I thought Lisa's message was so powerful. That simple, breaking down a definition, simply that is, unbelief is taking your focus off of him. And then it comes to where it's time to pick everything. And God will put you in places where people can pick off of you. You say, that sounds painful. No, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. He will put you in places where the fruit he's produced in you that you've bared, others will take up and see him and find him, and it'll change their lives, and he will get glory that you've stayed in him and bore fruit. John 15:16 says this. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask my name, the Father will give you. It's a pretty powerful verse if you really understand it. What's it say? It's not up to you. It's actually your created purpose. You're to bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And in so doing, anything you ask according to his will be done. Genesis 1:22 says it this way. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas. Let the birds increase on the earth. How many of you know that decree has not changed? Regardless of your age, every promise God has spoken of you, he will bring about. Everything that he has declared over you will come to pass. Everything he's told you to do, you need to do. One of those is be fruitful. What does that take? It takes no striving on your part. It takes abiding in him. Genesis 17:6 says, I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. Leviticus 26:9,
I will look on you with favor and make you fruitful and increase your numbers, and I will keep my covenant with you. And there's numerous scriptures about God saying he will make you fruitful. The neat part about that for me was it's just not about me. I cannot strive to make myself fruitful. I don't have a three-step formula for you other than remain in him, remain in him, remain in him. And if you remain in him, he will produce fruit which you can bear that will change people. It's a season of fruit. You know, I would love to see 300 people in here on a Sunday morning. But unless Christ builds the church, it's built in vain. And I'm not going to strive to do something that I'm not called to strive to do. I am called to remain in him. And if he says it's a season of fruit, I expect growth. Jesus really set the standard for us. Whatever the Father does, he does. Whatever the Father says, he says. Don't live by any other standard. If God says there's work to do, then I have work to do. Why? Because God's at work, and I get to partner. God gets to work. So, you know, got a call while I was out picking some apples yesterday. It was my grandson, you know, wanted to come over. What you doing? I'm picking apples. Can I pick apples? You know what children like to work? I don't know what happens when we grow up. You know, I don't see any adults say, oh, I'm just looking forward tomorrow. I get to go to work and I get to do this. Kids are like, yeah, let's go. Doesn't matter what it is. They just enjoy, right? It's an adventure. So I waited for him to come over to pick apples. And it was a lot of fun. You know, that's really how God is with us. God has been patiently waiting, fully preparing, maturing you as a vessel, making you strong, cutting away the things that need to be cut away, whether you understand it or not, so he can produce fruit in you. I see that over the encounter. You know, I can cry out for revival as long as I want to cry out for revival, but only he brings revival. I just need to remain in him. We bear the fruit. God produces the fruit. Romans 8, was it 28? Basically says, and we know in all things God works together for good for those that love him. And I am closing. And I said it earlier. You know, so often we're like Peter. We're anxious for God to do stuff. We even like jump out of the boat, right? Partner with God. But then we look at all the stuff. I'm trying to encourage you as good as I can. It's pretty hard for a stoic guy, by the way. You know, it's not like I can pull out the pom-poms and do a cheerleading thing and get everybody excited. I don't look good in little skirts anyways. But I'm trying to encourage you that when you look at your circumstances, things that have happened in the past, and there's been some tragic, horrendous things in people's lives. If you'll just stay in him, he will bring a joy
out of the worst circumstance. That is so wonderful, you'll look and say it was worth it. And only He can do that. It's a season of fruit. So where does that leave us? It leaves us at Proverbs 3:5. It's as simple as this. Trust in the Lord. With all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him. And He'll take care of everything else. Bruce's paraphrase. It really comes down to, do we trust Him or not? I will guarantee you, no matter what we go through in life, if He showed us the joy set before Him, we'd go through it willingly instead of fighting against it. So you have a choice today. Everyone can stand. Travis, you can cue some music. You have a choice today. Keep kicking the tires and wondering why life happens to you, or you can start happening to life. And say, God's given me promise. See, it's a season of fruit. It's a promise to you. And it's a promise to us. We can either grab hold of the promise and believe it, like Abraham did. And it was counted to him as righteousness, by the way. And he became a father of many nations. Or we can say the circumstances are too great. I can't bear it. And wonder why we go through life having life control us. This is the season where you keep your eyes upon Jesus. Where you overcome. Where you rise above every difficulty, where all the hindrances, the chains, everything's been weighing you down are suddenly broken away, where old wounds are healed, old scars are gone, where heartaches are mended, where sadness is turned into joy. It's a season of fruit. So if the Lord's been speaking to you about anything and you want prayer, come down. Otherwise, as I pray, I simply ask that you find a place and start listening to the Lord about what He wants to say to you in this season. Because there's promises He wants to fulfill in your life if you'll simply abide in Him. So Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You that You are the one person I know that is always true to Your word. Your word has never failed. Your word will never fail. Your word will always come to pass. So, Father, we turn our eyes towards You and choose to see how You see the joy that You place before us. Father, we see this place filled. We see people excited for You. We see souls saved. Lord, we see You invading a city, turning everything that looks awful to good. We bless Kenosha, God. Why? Because You desire to bless Kenosha. And I bless Your people, Lord. Help them to see. Help them to know that what You have stated is about to come to pass. It's a season of fruit. I thank You for it. I bless them, and I ask, as they choose to seek You now, that they will find You. In Jesus' name, amen. Find a place. Take some time with the Lord.